Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I'm just saying, Amber, I don't know why you had to be so definitive with the yes.
I really did come quick with the yes.
It was a lot, right? And that being said, not wrong. Not wrong. It's Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Golic Jr. and Amber Wilson, who has confirmed the fact that, yes, I am crazy. And
somebody
I'm okay admitting that.
Listen, you know?
Someone's got to keep me in check. Someone's got to keep me in check, and I'm glad it's Amber. Now, we got a lot to get to this hour. We're going to play Tell Me Why coming up in a little bit. Great little bit of college football fun because we have got a full slate, a full weekend coming up here. And, Amber, it got me so excited. I almost missed a flight this morning. I wasn't sure how I was going to get to bed in time to get out here, but I have made it. I am in Maryland right now at Maryland Stadium getting ready for West Virginia at Maryland tomorrow, on the call with Anish Shroff and Taylor McGregor. It's starting to feel real again as I sit here inside the stadium looking down on the very field. It all is starting to feel real again in a way that, like, I don't know, like it's hard to replicate this feeling, Amber.
You're not just sitting inside the stadium. You're not just in a concourse or something. You are in the press box. So you look like football on ESPN+. You exude football. It's coming out of your pores today, as it should be, because it's back, baby. We're here.
It's like the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me, by the way, that you're exuding football, because this is a day where, like, going through the course of this, Amber, as we're all getting back and getting ready to do this again, as we look around and, you know, start to figure out, all right, which of the power teams can we maybe poke holes in? Is there a chance to get some new blood in the playoff this year? What's that going to look like? As you heard Doug Brown in the SportsCenter update saying that, we mentioned yesterday, BYU, UCF, Houston, and others expected to potentially submit applications to the Big 12 to join now, very soon. People saying and telling Heather Dinich and our other college football reporters, this could all move pretty fast. We've got a lot we're trying to balance, but we're also walking into a season where there are going to be fans in the stands here tomorrow. We are going to be traveling to games again, Amber. We got to make sure not to pull a muscle in all this and that we're doing this right. And I say that because I saw a guy at the airport this morning rip a shot before 7 a.m. and I wasn't sure if that was just him getting ready for this weekend, and I was now suddenly behind the eight ball.
Well, we know you're probably behind the eight ball there. It sounds he's far out ahead of whatever his plans were this weekend. I have no idea if it's football related or not, but that guy is certainly on another level than the rest of us. I do think it's been an interesting offseason leading up to this point in college football, where college football has had more headlines and more spotlight during the offseason than any other time I remember. And it's just been one seismic change or impending seismic change after another. And then here we are now, season starts, and it's kind of like business as usual. Like, we're right back at it. Now we're actually talking about games. Now we're actually watching games. And all of that other stuff with conference expansions and teams being added and even NIL and the things that have actually already occurred and college football expansion in terms of playoffs, all that kind of stuff gets pushed to the side for now anyways, and we're just talking actual on-the-field football.
And that's been incredible, and that's what honestly makes it even more interesting what's happening right now. Because for the American, I mean, last night you thought, you know, potentially UCF was on life support at home with Mountain West bad boy Boise State coming into town. Tulsa lost to UC Davis in saying that, having it come out of my mouth. Still doesn't fully make sense here. And now you wake up to this news, Amber, as you head into college football's opening weekend. It does feel like it's going to be a respite for a lot of people. Not even from what we've weathered for the last couple of years, because we know that's still got to be part of the story. We know that the safety of people involved here, that's why when we talked to Notre Dame Athletic Director Jack Swarbrick the other day on this show, we asked about their stadium policy, why they were requiring proof of vaccination, a negative test, things like that, in the way that some areas were, because this is still going to be a part of it. But if you are also looking at the changing landscape of college football, you at least get a chance to go out here if you're in the rest of the Big 12 and hope with everything in you that Louisiana, ranked Louisiana, can go in and upset Texas in week one.
That's the kind of thing that you're looking for. But you're right. Those other storylines are going to permeate the entire football season. And certainly the COVID storylines, as tired as people get of hearing those storylines throughout sports, they are sports because they affect these sports so dramatically and so directly. And so we're certainly going to have those stories come out. But it was funny when I was watching that Ohio State-Maryland game last night, and it's not like the first time we've seen sporting events with fans, but even in that environment, it was still like a little shocking to me, you know? Or even the UCF game a little less so because those fans had to wait 3 hours in the bounce house and they did the best they could there. But, you know, after a 3 hour rain delay, stadium's going to look a little bit more sparse than otherwise. But with those games that were televised, with those environments, it was strange for me to kind of be right back there after last season. And I don't think any sport missed fans like college football missed fans. Like, that sport, out of all the sports, really needs the fans. I feel like with professional sports, a product's so good, you still miss the fans, but it's not like college ball, man. And so here we are, at least navigating some semblance of a world where we could have fans in those stands and thousands of people cheering for these players. And that's really exciting for all of us.
Yeah, Amber, I think last night's game was the perfect example of why we missed it. Because think about that. That was Ohio State on the road for a Big Ten game, week one of the season with a new quarterback, and there's rain coming down, and the crowd's full of Minnesotans, and the team is going Big Ten is all hell. I mean, we saw the Wildcat last night. We saw an offense that formationally is built like a cinder block that treats wide receivers one-on-one matchups like bar fights. It was not designed to be pretty, but when you've got Ohio State in there and you've got the whole crowd trying to will Minnesota on here, all of a sudden it starts to look more like the postcard that we've got in our head of Big Ten football, of college football overall, and that's what makes the difference here in so many ways. And so, Amber, looking at what we get this upcoming weekend, I think so much of our focus in the past has been on the playoff. It's been this who's in, who's out idea. We wait, especially when it's positioned as just four. I'm hoping that more people will join in and go along with this idea that the rest of college football can be something that you enjoy outside of that. Georgia-Clemson should rightly get a ton of attention this weekend. But you brought up Florida and FAU and joked that I poo-pooed all of that, and I understand why, but it is exciting. We talked to Richard Johnson about that from the SEC Network, like getting to see what the offense looks like with Emory Jones, getting to see how Dan Mullins and this crew adjust for not having the dynamic downfield passing offense they had. Like, these are all things that we're allowed to love because they will give us moments like that shoe game from last year, ridiculous things like the Egg Bowl from 2 years ago that changed tens of jobs around college football. Like, these are all the little things that we're allowed to love this year.
Yeah, talk that sweet Florida Atlantic talk to me. I do think that we're also focused in on the games like Georgia and Clemson. The reality of that matchup is either of those teams could lose and still maybe make the college football playoffs. You know, it's not a shoe-in, but that's the reality of the dominance of both of those teams, or the potential dominance if Georgia wins that game. If they then went on to beat Florida on their schedule and then, of course, beating whoever comes out of the West, probably an Alabama, then they probably, even with a loss to Clemson, would still make a college football playoff picture. And maybe even Clemson would if they roll through the rest of their schedule and they win the ACC. So that game actually doesn't necessarily matter as much. You can make an argument. Like, we're all going to be super tuned in. But these matchups that we're all super tuned in on and that we spend so much time on, you're right, aren't necessarily the most interesting storylines of the weekend, because there's a lot of other matchups happening this weekend that maybe even actually end up mattering more to those programs. Maybe they're not programs that end up making the college football playoffs, but each and every game still matters for a multitude of reasons, and also because we don't necessarily know what we're going to get out of some of those other teams. So I do think that there's so much to look forward to tonight, tomorrow night, Sunday, college football.
It is so beautiful.
I mean, it really is. It brings a tear to my eye.
Now, if you get to Sunday and you say all of a sudden, all right, I don't have the NFL this week, I've taken in so much college football through a fire hose, I can't possibly take any more, allow me to offer you a palate cleanser. Tune into an NL West battle. Sunday night, the Giants host the Dodgers, presented by Samsung Galaxy. Coverage of Sunday Night Baseball begins at 6 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app, and at 7 p.m. on ESPN. This Sunday Night Baseball preview is brought to you by Samsung Galaxy. Shop the impressive Samsung Galaxy Z Fold 3 5G and Z Flip 3 5G at Samsung.com. Coming up next, though, we've talked about the Bama down year theory for a lot of people here. I want to do what we always hear anytime that we've got conversations about the all-pro teams that came out, the Pro Bowl that comes out. When people talk about snubs and they say, all right, if you're going to take someone out, who are you going to put in? if people really think this is going to be a down year for Alabama, at Mike Golic Jr. and at Amber W790, who's it the up year for that's taking their place? Next on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Everybody always wants to take someone out of the dance, whether it's the college football playoff, the playoffs in the professional leagues, hell, even all-star teams, Pro Bowls. But you got to put someone in there. Who is that team? It's Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr., Amber Wilson. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $700 on average. Not going to give you any extra there. $700 is a lot of money that you're saving with the folks at Progressive. But, Amber, we'll also get to some game notes because, selfishly, I like to come on here and make sure that everyone's prepared. Should, in the 3:30 window tomorrow, they want to mosey on over to ESPN and watch the Big Ten and the Big 12 square off. It's got Maryland. We've got West Virginia. Not yet, Jake. Not yet. Don't get too excited. Don't get too excited, Jake. I like where your head's at.
My bad.
But not yet. I get it. He wants it,
Amber. Wait for your preview.
I mean, I'm sitting here inside the stadium, Amber. It only feels right. But before we get to that, this has been the conversation we've kind of worn in all day. And I want to hit the next step on this. Ryan McGee, our ESPN college football reporter, framed this nicely on KJZ this morning. Bama, step back, collision course, question mark?
We've had this same conversation about this team for 15 years, which is, hey, they just lost a Heisman Trophy winner. Hey, they just lost half their defensive line of the league. Hey, they just their OC and DC both just left for head coaching jobs. And what's he do? He goes and gets two former NFL head coaches and hires them as the coordinators. And, you know, and oh, by the way, his quarterback, he just casually drops at Media Day. His quarterback's already making seven figures with NIL. So, I mean, they just reload.
So, Amber, they do reload, and we expect them to still be really good. This is all relative. But if what we're talking about is, does Alabama step back to open up enough room for another team to jump into playoff contention, that's a different story. For another team to win the SEC, because let's be real, that's a ticket to the playoff right now, that's a different story. So I look around here. Amber, is there a team, because we've talked about Georgia as maybe the most talented roster in college football. We've talked about Jimbo Fisher finally having a Texas A&M team. And I know that sounds crazy. Kellen Mond, four offensive linemen that head to the draft. But this talked about like it might be his most talented team yet. Your Florida Gators here. Is there a squad that you feel comfortable putting in their place? Because every time I look, I kind of find reasons to go wandering back to Nick Saban's loving arms.
I think there's a different conversation if you're talking about can Bama take the West or can Bama take the SEC generally. I do feel like SEC-wise, generally, it should be Georgia's year. But stop me if you've heard this before. I mean, you just heard McGee say it when it comes to Bama. And man, do we say it every single year about Georgia as well. Like, this year is the year. This is the most talented Georgia team. And this team should be the best team in the SEC. And it just does always not pan out in fruition. Absolutely, Georgia has set themselves up to be very successful this year and to be in that national championship picture. So I do think that they should be able to contend with an Alabama in an SEC championship type setting. We'll find out a lot about Georgia tomorrow. I think in terms of the West, though, the picture gets a bit more complicated because you mentioned Texas A&M, and you're right. That's one of those rosters. Some people point to Texas A&M, like you said, and say it's one of the most talented rosters in the entire country, and yet they've had a lot of changes as well to that team. They've got a question there on quarterback. How much do you believe, now Jimbo Fisher just got paid, right? He just got paid more. Like, how much do you believe that that could actually equate into overcoming or eclipsing Alabama in the West? I have a hard time putting my money there, but that's the only team in the West that, frankly, I could see doing it. LSU is like kind of a total wild card because you don't normally see teams go from where they were in 2019 to what happened to them in 2020. So it kind of feels like 2020, a strange year for all of us, and obviously a strange year for LSU, and they had the injury to the quarterback there. And so maybe with LSU, can they have a bounce back year here in 2021? LSU feels like one of those teams that could win four games or could win out. And you kind of don't know what you're going to get from that team going into the season. There's not really anybody else in that Western Conference, though, that I think can really compete with Bama at all.
Right. Like, LSU is just kind of like a I don't know, Ole Miss in different colors this year. Like, they're not going to score as many points as the Lane train in Ole Miss. Matt Corral coming back, that I think preseason first team all SEC, like, he feels like the most tenured quarterback, and certainly we know they can light it up. But that's just, I mean, it's like walking into like a ball of knives every week. You don't know what exactly is going to happen or if they're going to come out on the other side. And so I just keep looking around and going, all right, if our thought process here is we've got to put our faith in Georgia to go ahead and be the usurper here, or this Texas A&M wild card versus an Alabama defense that's coming back fully loaded. Like, I know we haven't thought about the Tide in that way for a while, Amber, where we've looked at them for the last few years and said, oh, it's this offensive revolution. It's everything that Alabama's opened up. Going back to the Lane Kiffin days when he was the coordinator there, that's the thing, is I keep finding that and I keep saying, all right, I know that the SEC has started to kind of become the Big 12 offensively, but maybe Alabama on the defensive side says, all right, we're kind of sick and tired of these numbers skewing away from what we were used to, and they show everyone who daddy is on that side of the ball again.
I think the conversation with Alabama, though, is that you want to say, well, they're going to take a step back. Because I do, again, I think it's reasonable that they would take a step back after losing all the talent that they lost. I mean, I understand. It's Alabama. They reload. Five-star recruits. Yada, yada, blah, blah, blah. They lost so much actual viable talent. So much of it in the first round of this last draft. They lost over 50% of their offensive production in this draft. They lost the Heisman Trophy winner. They lost Mac Jones, who everybody has in the hall now ever since he got named the starting quarterback of the New England Patriots. They lost Najee Harris. They lost a ton of pieces. And so can we expect that all these freshmen are going to come in and that they're really going to be, or any of the guys sitting behind those guys, and that they're really going to be as good as that production was for last year's Bama team? The problem is, as reasonable as I think that position is, the problem is what I think we're uncovering here as we're going through the SEC is that it's a down year for the conference generally, maybe. Like, not, I mean, now given down year for Bama, we have to keep it in context. We're talking like maybe they lose two games. That's kind of what you and I are talking about when we're talking about down year. And same with SEC. If we're talking down year for the SEC, I think we're talking less contenders than maybe we'd expect, because we're not really confident about anybody else in that Western Conference. And man, that's exactly how luck would have it, that the year that Alabama might be taking a step back is kind of the same year that I'm really not confident about anybody else in that Western Conference in the SEC.
Yeah, there's just a lot of change all at once in the SEC that we're trying to absorb here right now. That all, by the way, is part of our weekend preview. It is brought to you by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Go to geico.com today. Now, Amber, I did mention, got a pretty good game coming up tomorrow here. I've got some notes that I would like to share for everyone should you choose to fly in for the 3:30 window on ESPN. And tune into myself, Anish Shroff, and Taylor McGregor for a matchup between West Virginia and Maryland here. A little Big 12, Big 10 action, a nice out-of-conference bite to start your weekend, to start your college football season off. Let's start with a name everyone's going to be familiar with here. Taulia Tungavailoa, Tua Tungavailoa's younger brother, who actually on their Pop Warner team played center while Tua played quarterback there. So a guy who's got his hand firmly in the trenches in a way that's endearing to me. But a big step up. He was, in terms of efficiency in the passing game, the second most efficient passer in the Big Ten last year, with room to grow. Where does that room come from? Better protection for him up front and the continued emergence of Rakim Jarrett, five-star recruit who had offers from Alabama, LSU, all these big-time schools, and said, no, I want to stay close to home in the DMV and be a part of something very special in Maryland building off that. They're going to go up against, and this is the strength-on-strength matchup you want to watch for this game, the number one passing defense in the Big 12 from last year in West Virginia. What they managed to put together with losses at every level this year. Fields, their linebacker, gone to the NFL. Darius Stills, one of the two Stills brother, gone to the NFL. You've lost guys in the secondary as well. Tyke Smith heading to Georgia. But you've reloaded in big-time ways here. Dante still on that D-line here. Chandler Cimino at linebacker, who they love. Big voice on this defense. Going up against, and this is going to be, again, that matchup on offense. But on the other side, it's Letty Brown time on the West Virginia offense. a battering ram, tackle-breaking monster at running back who's going to be the focal point of an offense that's got to start to get more production. Major league drops last season near the bottom of FBS in terms of drops by the wide receivers. Going up against a Maryland defense that's getting a facelift. Brian Stewart, the defensive coordinator, spent a year with Dave Aranda over at Baylor. He's been around here before. He understands what Maryland is. I think you're going to see a team play aggressive on defense, try and slow down Letty Brown. It's going to be, can the trenches for Maryland come to play in this matchup? I, for one, can't wait, Amber, and I can see the excitement on your face as well.
I cannot wait. You just got me so fired up. Mike's Juice. Game notes.
Juice.
I'm tuning in.
Listen, as you should, it's going to be electric. We're going to have, 40,000-plus people out here. It's going to be wild. You got a lot of proximity on the line in this matchup. But coming up next, I'll tell you why Oklahoma is more than a legitimate title contender heading into this weekend. Next on ESPN Radio.
Shanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Shanae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Amber Wilson. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And I got a little too worked up last segment, Amber. I apologize for that. I just get fired up and sweaty for game day.
Mike's game notes. You left everything on the court. You've got nothing left. You were yawning during the break. You gave us everything you got. I think you might need to sit out these next couple segments.
I think I might. And as the sun sets here on Maryland Stadium, as I get ready for the game tomorrow, Amber, I recognize that I don't want to go too all in on what I'm doing tomorrow because there's a lot going on tomorrow. There's a lot of things that people need to know heading into tomorrow. And so we want to tell them why, or rather tell you why, as we head into this college football weekend. Tell Me Why is brought to you by Barbasol Shaving Cream. Choose Barbasol Shaving Cream for a thick lather and close, comfortable shave. Barbasol, the American original for over 100 years. Better by Barbasol. All right, for anyone that doesn't remember Tell Me Why, we're just going to let you know a few specific things you need to understand heading into this weekend, heading into the season around the world of college football. And Amber, since I am tired, I'm going to throw this first one your way. Amber Wilson, tell me why Georgia has more to prove in this weekend's matchup than Clemson does.
It's funny because Georgia could actually lose this game and still make a college football playoffs. We discussed that earlier. Whereas with Clemson, it's not so certain that they would if they lost this game because they've got a really weak schedule here on out and obviously play in a much easier conference in the ACC. So could they have a strength of schedule issue there if they don't get this win meaning that it would be their most significant win on the season? However, we do this every season with Georgia, Mike, where we're always like, this is the team. This is the Bulldogs team that's loaded with so much talent. They're going to win the SEC. They're going to compete for a national championship. It's this team. And it's easy to say it's this team, but it actually is. It could actually be this team. And I think morally for Georgia, their route to proving that this is actually that team, that this is actually the year that they could get over the hump and actually win a national championship for the first time since, I believe, 1980, would be starting here, week one, making a statement tomorrow, winning this game. So morally, I think that this game matters more for Georgia for this win for that reason.
I agree. And in a lot of those ways, actually, Amber, especially because Todd Monken and JT Daniels are supposed to be the savior of all of this. Georgia, talent-wise, has been knocking on the door for a while here. And if they can't break through with this, hope is going to start to be even tougher to come by in Athens than it's already been. Amber, tell me why Oklahoma is a legit title contender.
Oh, I'm doing all the heavy lifting today.
Yes.
I would say Oklahoma, most people think Oklahoma is a legit title contender. I would say most notably because they play in the Big 12 right now, by the way. They play still in the Big 12, guys. They play in the Big 12 this season, and they are by far the favorites to win that conference yet again in 2021. I don't know if things will look quite different for Oklahoma one day when they are members of the SEC, but today it is still Big 12 is Oklahoma's conference. And because of that, they should be able to walk their way into a college football playoffs type picture here. But in fairness, this team of Lincoln Riley's is actually, I would say, a team that has been spoken about as the most optimistic of teams in recent years. And you know that's saying a lot. Can he do it again? Can the quarterback whisperer do it again? Can he get that magic again? Another monster offensive production from Lincoln Riley's squad. A lot of people think that they are built for success and that kind of success this year. So I would say that they are an easy title contender.
Amber, I would say it's also on defense, too. That's the difference. Much as Georgia's not used to getting quarterbacks going bombs away in Kirby's offense, Alex Grinch has this defense playing ball. Got there. Listen to these numbers over the last 3 years since he became aboard. Sacks per game went from 74th to 34th to 7th in the country last year. Interceptions, 112th, 100th to 3rd in the country last year. And rush defense, 59 to 32nd to 9th last year. It's been a steady climb up. Nick Bonino's going to get after guys in that pass rush. Going to be difference makers on defense in a conference in the Big 12 overall, Amber, that's starting playing a lot more D than it probably gets credit for.
You're absolutely right there. All right, I'm going to throw one at you now, flip the script. Tell me why Mike Bryce Young and the Crimson Tide will have no problems disposing of Miami tomorrow.
Yeah, Amber, I understand 19.5 points is a lot that Alabama is giving in this game. But hear me out on this, because what Bryce Young is going to have is the usual that was good enough for Bama to beat a lot of teams before all this fancy highfalutin offense came along over there. He's got an offensive line that features the next in a long line of first-round Alabama tackles in Evan Neal. Emil Ekior, a guard there, is better than a lot of people will acknowledge publicly because he's not a huge name. And a running back crew that's just going to keep reloading. So I worry less about that side of the ball that's going to be able to wean the next quarterback here in Bryce Young on. It's the defense. Six guys finding their way onto that preseason All-SEC first team. Henry To'o from Tennessee, that group of Tennessee players that's going to affect college football this year. I think we might get back to a little more of the old Nick Saban formula that can at least wean them to a point where their talented Bryce Young gets them towards the end of this season.
Well, and not to mention Bryce Young obviously taking over the helm and big shoes to fill there at Bama. But if you pull his numbers from high school, you're talking video game numbers from high school, that Bryce Young. So we'll see what ends up happening there with him at the helm.
It's an absolutely embarrassment of riches at that Alabama quarterback spot, which is not something we used to get to say. So the fact that we want to already try and go back to doubting them says a lot more about us than it probably says about the player. That is Tell Me Why. Those are some things to keep an eye on this coming weekend in college football. But coming up next, I will give you the biggest, quite literally the biggest for the brand approved product you need to check out this coming weekend in college football. That's after this word from Barbasol. Now, guys, in 1919, Barbasol introduced the very first no-brush, no-lather, no-rubbing shaving cream. Today, we celebrate this milestone with a fresh take on the original. Introducing Barbasol 1919 Classic Shaving Cream. A culmination of over 100 years of shaving excellence. Both words work. This new non-aerosol shaving cream is fortified with aloe, coconut oil, and shea butter to soothe and protect your skin. It's paired with a fresh and calming fragrance. This ultra-slick formula delivers a shave experience like no other. Learn more about this at Barbasol.com. That's Barbasol.com. Get him with the big leg next on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Our guests have joined us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Golic Jr. and Amber Wilson. Our thanks to Barrett Jones, three-time national champion in Alabama. Going to be on the call with Sean Kelly for Georgia and Clemson tomorrow on ESPN Radio. The Bear, Chris Felica, helped us come by, get our cheddar right for the weekend of college football. Marcus Spears, our ESPN NFL analyst. And Richard Johnson from the SEC Network's Thinking Out Loud. Both helped us take a look at the upcoming SEC season, what we should expect out of LSU and more. If you missed any of that, download, subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcast, the Janae and Golic Jr. podcast. And Amber, it has been a fun week. We have gotten to get dumb hype for college football together. It feels only right that we should sail off into the literal sunset going on outside me in Maryland Stadium, where I am, before the kickoff of West Virginia at Maryland tomorrow at 3:30 on
ESPN.
Is
anybody else there with you, or do you just have the whole stadium to yourself right now? You're just watching a beautiful sunset fall over the field by yourself, just taking it all in?
Yeah, me and like the op staff setting up around here, but in general, it's been kind of a peaceful night, Amber. I'm not going to lie.
Very pleasant. Maybe you should have a picnic after the show.
That is the kind of energy we need. Let's keep it here right now. We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Janae and Golic Jr.
I wonder if they would be weirded out if they just saw me on like a security cam just eating Uncrustables at half field, at midfield.
Yeah, like just set yourself up on the 50. Maybe it's try to score a glass of vino from somewhere. I don't really I don't know.
See, now we're talking.
Maybe you could Uber Eats to the stadium.
It's all deadly.
Get yourself a full spread.
Why not? You know what? It'd be a hell of a game day here. Keeping that same energy, Amber, though, how about this after a game day here? Now, John Sterling and his radio play-by-play partner, Ricky Ricardo, both called the New York Yankees game at Los Angeles Angels from Yankee Stadium because the radio crews have not presumed traveling as part of the team's COVID-19 protocols. We know there was huge storms going on, the tails of Hurricane Ida making their way to the Northeast, and it ended with John Sterling actually being helped out of a flooding car by his Spanish radio play-by-play announcer, Ricky Ricardo, on Wednesday night after he got stuck trying to drive home from a game. Amber, obviously, we're glad everyone's okay first and foremost and hope that everyone is okay in the Northeast, but that is how a partner is supposed to act right there.
It really is. Now, Ricardo had stayed at the stadium longer than Sterling. Sterling had left the stadium, and Ricardo recognized that Sterling might be in trouble because the stadium was apparently reportedly like the lobby of the stadium, and I guess the parking lot there was already filling with water, and so he had called him on his way home to make sure that Sterling had gotten home okay, and he had not, and he was, you know, in this situation where he was blocks from his house, and he was in a car that was starting to take on water, and Ricardo drove all the way to him to help him out, to get him out of that flooded car. An unbelievable partner. Would you do that for me? Like, that is some serious radio partnership going on.
Amber, in a heartbeat, I would absolutely
right
save
answer,
you
Mike.
From that flooding car. I know better than to get myself in trouble here. It's Janae and Golic Jr. We're brought to you by 5-Hour Energy Shots. It's the one when you got to get stuff done. Amber, keeping that same energy, if you're watching our friends at SMU play football this weekend, you may see a new beef kicker out here. 6'8", 232 pounds of kicking madness. He's been booming size 74-yard field goals with size 14 shoes. Brendan Hall is a freak of nature. He came from a town, Springtown, Texas, with a population of 2,600. Didn't have a private kicking coach. Played for the Springtown Porcupines. This guy seems like an absolute beauty and something we absolutely need to wrap our arms around this college football season.
6'8", 232 pounds as a freshman kicker. Is there like a workaround with the rules here where if you hit him, it's okay, you know, like no touching the kicker, no roughing the kicker, but it's okay here in this scenario because he's going to be standing upright no matter what happens or what's coming at him in these games?
It's absolutely fair play in that. There's no question. So keep your eyes out for the beef kicker this weekend. Did want to say before we close out the show here that, as you guys may have heard the announcements from ESPN PR, this will be the last day of Chiney and Golic Jr. Next week it will become Chris Canty and Golic Jr. Excited to have Chris on board. We wish Chiney could have been here for the last day. You guys have seen she's been busy this summer. The WNBA schedule has been a lot. She's still going to be a part of ESPN's great coverage of so many things. She's an unbelievable teammate. Was so blessed to get to do the show with her, to get to experience what we did last year. They turned the keys over to a couple of youngsters and let us have a ton of fun in this time slot. I love Chiney. We're still going to be such great friends. We hope you'll stick with us next week. Thank you to everyone that's helped us this summer, including you, Amber. Thank you so much for all the help. You're going to be a friend around here still, and we're looking forward to it.
I hope so. It's been fun.
Absolutely. Spain and Fitz up next on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.